SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On
the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
That's right, friends. It is In This League. It's ITL on Sports Grid with Bogman, with Welsh. That's us. Welcome in. It's hour two. You miss any of the show, we'll go back and listen on demand in your podcast app. That's where you can do it. And, you know, something we were talking about in hour one has more officialness. That's a good word. That's not a word. Officialness to it. When we were talking about, just, I think, besides our selfishness of the gambling bill in Arizona, you know, obviously we're a little bit selfish with it, and it's a bigger thing in our world. But a reason why it should be bigger to everybody else is because the expansion, if Arizona can pass it, you know, I think everybody can go. Well, it's already signed through because FanDuel, Bogman, already tweeted out on Thursday, tweeted out that they have already partnered. I mean, this deal was just, this was like NBA free agency. They were just waiting till midnight to lock this one down. That they already have an exclusive deal with the Phoenix Suns, and a FanDuel Sportsbook is going to be at the Sun Stadium next season. It's already signed up. And I was like, wow, they wasted no time. Arizona is going full in.
Yeah, it's kind of like how whenever weed becomes legal, it's like, yeah, it might take a little while for the shops to, oh, there they are. Okay, oh. Look at that. They're open. I had no idea this was happening, or I'm sure it was the same way during Prohibition. Like, well, now all we got to do is get people to make some beer and liquor. Oh, there it is.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Hey, what happened to that laundromat? Now it's the smoke and blow. I don't understand what happened with it. Yeah, no, you're right about that. You're just like, how long is this going to take? And old, like, Filbertos are turning into drive-through marijuana dispensaries and stuff like that. The same thing is going on. So, you know, we talked about, I mean, it wasn't really any a question because Ducey had, the governor of Arizona was set to go, and it's already locked in. You're already seeing deals. Next thing you know, it's gonna be good to go. You're gonna have the apps all set in Arizona, and wherever you live, it's probably going to be the next step. I'm telling you, I truly do believe that Arizona, for them to be able to pass it, is a good benchmark for so many other places. Many other places, regardless of political belief, there's one thing that everybody agrees on, and it's cash money, cream. It's what
y'all,
it is.
Dollar bills, y'all.
That's cash, right. Rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. When we come back, we are going to talk a decent amount of football, but there was a big thing that went down in the baseball world, so I want to talk about that because we didn't even get to hit on it on the ITL Fantasy Baseball podcast. A no-hitter, which was almost a perfect game. More coming up on ITL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In This League.
Break it down.
ITL on Sports Grid at patreon.com/ITL Army. If you want to be a part of the audio universe that is In This League, it's ITL, Bogman and the Welsh. Whether you want the secret shows, you want to check out like the prospect list, some of the NFL draft prospect lists that Bogman's got going on, whether you want in the GroupMe rooms, you want to be in the know, check out the videos, whatever it is, come and check us out. And you are directly supporting In This League and independent podcasting when you do it. And we've been around for a long time. So I always say this, it's not a fly-by-night thing. We didn't just like, hey, let's just make a Patreon. And then like 3 months later, we're gone with no content. We've been doing this for like 4 or 5 years. We know how it is. We're kind of Patreon OGs, to be honest with you. So come and check us out. We deeply appreciate it. Support an ITL at patreon.com/ITL Army. No hitter. A no hitter that nobody saw coming, but you know, if we went back, do you know what the history is of no hitters? Do you know how many we've had in history?
A lot of no hitters, not a lot of perfect games.
Yeah, we'll
so,
see. How many? Whoops,
I mean, there were two last season. There were four in 2019. This is the second one this year, behind Musgroves. So,
okay. Oh, take a guess. I have the number.
300.
You are damn close. And now I assume it's counting what we just had. Now it's fresh in here, so it could be plus one. I just want to point out. But since 1876, there are only 307 no hitters in baseball history. So shout out to you, Boggs. That's like really close. So there might be 308 if it's not counting the Rodon one. And that averages out to two per year. That's the math that they did, about two per year on average. I bet if we went back and looked at all 300, let's just say seven, even though it could be eight, Rodon, if the internet has not updated, I will bet you 180 to 200 of those 307 no hitters are of pitchers we would look at and go, huh, what that guy? I mean, you know, Dallas Braden's, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to down talk Rodon, but like, we get
well,
this.
I mean, Edwin Jackson has one, and there's plenty of guys that, you know, are not really even all-star worthy, let alone, you know, Hall of Fame worthy
it's
or
fate.
Any of that
it,
stuff.
Yeah. It's like baseball. It's that one night the baseball gods have it for that player. And you don't want to take it away because all you need is just, it's like it's being in the zone. You know, you can have a Cedric Mullins gone 5 for 5. You know, you see random dudes have four homer games and, you know, I mean, cycles, this would be the exact
and Dallas Braden has a perfect game, which there's of 21. You know, since 1903. So there were two before 1903. So if you want to even count those, it's 23 total in the history of baseball. So, you know, and Dallas Braden's one was unbelievably special because I think it was on Mother's Day, like the year after his mom passed away. Mm-hmm. Like it was a huge deal. So like you said, it's almost as if fate has it for you as far as perfect games and no hitters. I mean, you know, San Diego didn't have one until Musgrove threw it the other day, and he was the first San Diego native, or he is a San Diego native pitching for his hometown team finally. So you're absolutely right about, you know, the stars aligning sometimes.
What's interesting is, like, I think I did this earlier too, but this was in respects of kind of crapping on baseball a little bit, how baseball just wants to be so innovative and they keep changing stuff where other sports, you know, they don't necessarily go the same length, I suppose. But like, there's also something special about baseball in that I suppose you can have kind of those moments in football and basketball, you know, like a basketball player go 10 for 10 and stuff like that. So I guess it's there. I don't want to like make baseball like it's so majestic, but you know, you can just have what is nothing more than a league average or worse pitcher have this immaculate night. And that's kind of what happened with Carlos Rodon. I didn't catch a ton of the game. And maybe I screwed it up. I tuned in, and I think like it was like right around the ninth, and he had this no hitter going, and then he throws just this wretched slider into the ground that just tips the guy, hits him, and he loses the perfect game. So Rodon had a perfect game going into the ninth, loses the stupid perfect game because he barely hits the guy off of a, it's one of those where I saw him pitch it and I was just like, you just throw your heat. Don't throw stuff 58 feet. Don't even mess around. Just go at them as hard. Cause he was elevating velocity. I want to say he opened the game at 92 and he ended at 97.
What was in the ninth inning. So
yeah,
his 97 mile per hour fastball was
He opened throwing 92 and he ended I wanted to call it a perfect game, a no hitter hitting 97. And
I remember
and he lost.
He wasn't supposed to pitch this game. He was supposed to pitch 2 days before, but he missed with a stomach ailment. You know, I said on Twitter, I'm like, yep, Carlos Rodon out with the bubble guts and the hot snakes. So had to go 2 days later. Yeah, exactly. So whatever it was, he ate 2 days before. Does that now have to become a pregame, a 2 day before meal or something?
Need to be scratched every start and go 2 days after? I mean, that's something legitimately
You talked about it before in hour one, where the records in baseball are definitely they're the most recognized of all of the sports. You know, NBA has records, NFL has records, but the NFL, like the way the game has changed so much, you know, Plus the fact that they're adding an extra game, all those records are going to be shattered this year. In the NBA, they added the 3-point line late. So and many rule changes in the NBA has kind of made it a different game than it was a long time ago. Baseball is the closest one, which is why we have so much pushback on, you know, changing any type of rules or anything. But it's the closest to staying the same to any of the sports. That's why the records are, you know, looked upon with, I don't know, greater respect than the other leagues.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And, you know, the Rodon situation, it was pretty awesome to see. He went 9. He struck out 7. He walked none except for that hit batter that was right towards the end of the game. And the things went his way. And it was, I mean, it was a all around magical, you know, White Sox night, because Mercedes went 3-for-5, hit a homer. I think that was his third homer of the year. You have Rodon come in, get his second win, throw a no-hitter, White Sox fans through the roof. I mean, he is in infamy. He's a legend now in White Sox history. And he also was probably on a lot of fantasy benches. And we had, I know someone tweeted us, they were like, suck my white ass ball. You know, like Happy Gilmore, because he had like 4 starters going, and Rodon was one he had on his bench, and he had a no-hitter on his bench. And that's brutal. Like, that, you know, that didn't happen with Musgrove. I'll bet you there's a lot out there that happened with Rodon, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's very true. By the way, can you give me the last time there was a perfect game? Do you remember that?
The last perfect game, I feel like, wasn't it like 3 years ago?
No, it was not.
Was it a long time? Was it? It wasn't.
It was before we started podcasting.
Oh, wow. So it had to be like 2013 or 2012?
2012. Yep.
Was that Braden?
That was not Braden. Braden, I believe, was 3 ago. So actually, he was 4 or 5 ago. That was in May. That was May 9th, 2010. That was Dallas Braden.
Hey, there's an interesting. Okay. So 5 perfect games between 2010 and 2012 is what you're telling me?
Yep.
That's actually an amazing stat. And there hasn't been one since. I don't know. I mean, you can give me a hint maybe if I don't.
Let's see. This guy was still in baseball at the beginning of the year, didn't make the team, but pitched for a very long time. And is a very, very good Hall of Fame worthy pitcher.
I have no idea.
Felix Hernandez was the very last. That was, what was the date on it here? August 15th, 2012 was Felix Hernandez. There was another one a month before that, in June of 2012, Matt Cain threw a perfect game against the Astros. Philip Umber before that. Those three were all in 2012.
Well, I was about to say, like, that's actually a really impressive crew of names to actually, not Umber, but to get Kane and Felix Hernandez. Because my point is, you know, you really, there is no predictor. Like, everyone would say, like, oh, DeGrom's going to throw a no-hitter and perfect game and stuff like that. And then you get Carlos Rodon's, he throw no-hitters. You know, it is the majesty of baseball and the magic that comes out. We got to go to break. When we come back, I want to give a slight mention to a big-time player that's coming back, and we're going to talk some football because Bogman is dying to grill me on the 49ers and their 3rd overall pick, which is coming right around the corner, as are we. So don't go anywhere. In this league, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
Welcome back, friends. It is In This League. We have got a merch store. You can check it out. It is Teespring ITL Store. Put that in the Google. It'll be one of the first two up there in your search engine, and you can check out all the merch. I'm actually wearing our ITL logo t-shirt. We've got the podcast artwork, and we've got a bunch of other fun stuff like the Fat Lance, Boggs Jr., Prospects Assemble, and more. Just check it out and pick up some ITL swag. Rocket in public, you know, that just made me think because, you know, I'm thinking about our secret shows that we've got to do. And the secret shows we do at ITL, it's a Patreon exclusive. We're closing in on 100 over a long period of time, you know, like 2 a month and how that would go. And I was thinking like, okay, what, you know, what are we going to do on our secret show? Bogman has a wonderful story that I forgot about until this moment that maybe you remember. It just made me think of like, if you guys, how much we would love to see somebody wearing ITL stuff like in the wild. Well, we've got a Bogman in the wild, amazing story for a secret show. So it's a good sell. If you guys want some unfiltered talk, that is just some guys being dudes. I'm going to tell this amazing ITL story that I'm very, very excited to get back to, Boggs. You're a very important guy. You're an important guy.
Right. That's what always tell me.
That's what I always say.
You and my mom say that. No one else has said it to me ever, but you and my mom say it a bunch. So thanks.
Yeah. I do say that a lot. You sound like you're being very like sarcastic, but me and your mom both say that.
That's right.
We're your biggest fans. Who's a bigger fan of you, me or your mom?
My mom. Yeah.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I know so. I mean, I'm a complete F up and my mom like doesn't see it. So, you know, it's fine.
But I can see any of those things and I'm still a fan. So I argue I'm a bigger fan than your mom. I'm just it out there. We're going to flip to football here in a second. But, you know, a pretty amazing thing I just wanted to touch on is how we had this big conversation on the ITL Fantasy Baseball podcast. We had Dan Harris on from Fantasy Pros about Fernando Tatis Jr. and Tatis Jr. activated on Friday, back in action after people, you know, there's someone out there that rage cut him. You just know there's like at least some guy that cut Tatis when he hurt his elbow. Well, and the rumors of everything.
That guy who rage cut Fernando Tatis Jr. First of all, I don't know how to explain the lack of intelligence in that decision, but he is the reason why we have can't cut lists provided to us by Yahoo and Fantrax and ESPN and all those places because of dumbasses like that.
Oh, that's a good point. So back in action, it'll be good to, we'll talk about probably some Tatis Jr. on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast on Monday. So make sure that you are checking that out. The NFL draft, I know you know this, but like I just had this epiphany just the other day, like, holy crap, the NFL draft is less than 2 weeks away.
2 weeks.
That's almost here, and we are going to have like wall-to-wall coverage with Bogman, and I'll probably be doing some of it as well, especially the first night on our Patreon. So make sure you come and check out. Definitely not the next couple nights. I was discussing this
with Bubba before we recorded stuff last night. And what I said was, well, look, Chris is going to be really mad after pick number 3. So as soon as he bails, you can come in because the Dolphins are pick 6 anyway. So, you know,
well, he can come in regardless. He can come in and hang out with me too. He does. We don't like me and him are not the like Charlize Theron and Will Smith where we can't be in the same room at the same time. Lose our powers.
But I'm saying the first 3 picks, you know, that. No, I almost lost $100. That S is going to be, it's going to take an hour for the first 3 picks. It always does.
Yeah. You know? Well, and to your point, and this is something you've been wanting to get at a lot. And I really do love this because, you know, the last time the 49ers were as relevant in an NFL draft that I can remember was the Alex Smith draft, you know, the first overall pick to be the forefront of it. So it has been a long time since the 49ers have been kind of the talk of the draft. And what is so fascinating is even though they don't have the first overall pick, the best player, you know, the most transcendent player already has a home. Nobody cares about the Jags and Trevor Lawrence anymore. It's just a done deal that no one cares about. So the 49ers go and trade the future away, a huge haul to get the 3rd overall pick in this draft. And what has now happened is they are the talk of the draft. I mean, though, 2 is kind of open, but I think everybody assumes just Zach Wilson is as locked in as Trevor Lawrence is. Those are just locked.
You know how many times I've called him Luke Wilson? It's an unbelievable amount. So
aren't you amazed that I didn't? I never
Owen Wilson, but I've called him Luke Wilson so many times.
Well, I think, Luke is maybe a little bit closer with Zach. Owen is very specific. You'd have to really be like going off on that one. But my 49ers, all eyes are on the 49ers, my team for next week's draft or 2 weeks from now draft. And you've just been dying to talk about it. And here's the unfortunate part. This is what I hate. And this is why you are setting this up, because you are smart and you know me well, is that the 49ers, as exciting as it is, they are in a position to be hilariously laughed at or applauded because they gave up a lot. They gave up two future first round picks. They gave up, I mean, they gave it like four picks in this, and
they know who they want.
They know who they want, but yes. The problem is if it's Mac Jones, the world is going to tumble. And if it's Justin Fields, everyone is going to be ecstatic. And then if it's Trey Lance, everyone will be like, all right. Like, so the Niners are in a really precarious situation where they could also throw a wrench into all of that and take, like you said, soul or something and just ruin everything. So you anticipate, what do you think is going to set me off with the 49ers, what they could do? And what do you think the Niners are going to do at three?
Well, I have thought since they traded for this pick that they're taking Justin Fields. That has been my thought process throughout the entire thing. Now, I believe today, as we're recording this, Justin Fields has just moved to the betting favorite for the Niners to take him today. Because immediately after this trade, what I read was, well, the Niners really like Trey Lance. And Trey Lance made a lot of sense to me because he needs to sit. He didn't play last year. He played the one game last year before they shut the season down. And, so going back to 2019, plus he's a FCS level competitor with South Dakota State. So I think he needs to come in and sit somewhere for at least a season. And the Niners already having Jimmy G and not trading him as it stands right now.
At this moment,
would make me think, okay, if they do like Trey Lance, they're trading up to get him. They know he has to sit for a year. They're going to go a year with Jimmy G and then bring Trey Lance in after that. Then we heard the rumors that it was Mac Jones. And Mac Jones has been locked in for the last like week and a half. And it's been Mac Jones. And there's no reason for them to take anybody else. This is who Kyle Shanahan likes, blah, 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 blah. Well, Justin Fields had a second pro day and everybody showed up to it. The Niners showed up to it. All of the Niners constituents showed up to it.
Well, the big thing with that, too, everyone made a big old freaking deal about was that the 49ers did not go to Justin Fields that first workout. And they instead went to Mac Jones. But they openly stated it was because they knew they could come to that pro day to see Fields. And this was their opportunity to see Mac Jones. So they were just prioritizing and people took it as like they just only want Mac Jones.
And I don't want this to sound like I don't like Mac Jones because I do. But taking Mac Jones at three when Justin Fields is on the board, when Penei Sewell is on the board, when Kyle Pitts is on the board, Ja'Marr Chase is on the board is just asinine to me. And I like Mac Jones, but these are all real day one contributing difference makers, in my opinion.
Let's take Sewell off the board because you know I will rage leave our our draft room if that happens.
I mean, like, which is funny too because, I mean, if it's me picking, I'm taking Penei Sewell.
Of course you are. You take offensive linemen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my team really needs offensive linemen. We can take wide receivers in the third and they're good. So it doesn't make any difference to my Steelers.
What would piss me off? What would make me happy? And what would make me go through the roof excited?
What would make you happiest, I think, is if they took Kyle Pitts and Fields. I think one of those two.
Justin Fields is the happy. So okay. If I have the three, so I have Kyle angry Pitts
tight end.
I know who Kyle Pitts.
Okay. All right.
Kyle Pitts would be fantastic, but I have signifiers: super happy, happy, and pissed. And then extreme pissed would be Sewell. So you got the happy. That is Justin Fields.
Okay, so the still pretty happy would probably be Chase.
That is the super happy. Ja'Marr Chase. That's so the super happy because you know so how I am with wide receivers. Ja'Marr Chase.
I mean, it's
would
so
be
dumb. You have Tebow, you have Ayuk, George Kittle's your number one. It's just so ridiculous.
So what would be the one that
still
you think
want a wide receiver at that pick? It's so dumb. I think you would be okay with Trey Lance. You would be pissed about Mac Jones, and then you'd be super pissed about Penei Sewell.
Yeah, no, I think you nailed it. Trey Lance would be in the same category as Mac Jones to me with Justin Fields on the board. If we're taking a quarterback, we're taking Fields. And I think the pick is Fields. I don't know where you think it is either. No, I think that's
from the beginning, I thought it was Fields.
Okay.
I don't think they're trading up to take Mac Jones or an offensive lineman, although I do like Penei Sewell. And I know the phrase generational gets thrown out a bunch, but there are three guys in this class. So it's Sewell, it's Trevor Lawrence, and it's Kyle Pitts that are, you know, would be top of the board of any draft over the last 5 or 6 years.
And I don't think that Jimmy G is a lock to stay with this team. I do not think that. Also, simply because, like, you know, Shanahan is like a player's dude, and he's one of those guys where if he knows the opportunity isn't out there, he might give him a shot to move on, because there's still some places I could look at quarterbacks. And the team also picked up Nate Sudfeld, which, you know, take it for what it is, but that's a guy that could be out there that they might be comfortable with. You don't, it's just weird to pick him up as a third quarterback that I think you could bring him in to be the backup. And I think Garoppolo can move on. And I think they'll probably settle on a pick. It's not going to be a first rounder, and they go with Justin Fields. I think, and I will be happy about that. And I'll be glad to stick around the ITL draft war room for a bit during the draft. We got to go to break though. More NFL talk right around the corner. It's Bogman. It's Welsh. It's In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
Oh, I remember.
In This League.
Yeah, I remember that.
It is Bogman and the Welsh on In This League right here on Sports Grid, the Mightier 1090, all the places, all the things. And make sure you guys are subscribed to this podcast so you don't miss any of it, and all the others, all the other good ones. ITL Fantasy Baseball Podcast rocking next week. We've got more guests and more good baseball talk. Football is in full force. And like we said, our Patreon is going to be a great place to go for the NFL draft, because we are going to have coverage. Bogman has been doing it for a couple years of live coverage just as they go. I do the MLB draft. You do the NFL draft. I will pop in and I will be there maybe for a little bit, as long as the 49ers don't screw up that third pick. So we both agree the Niners are going to go with Justin Fields. There's opportunity to criticize, and it has me anxious. I'm anxious about it because my team, all eyes are on my team because the draft starts with them. And if it goes Mac Jones, it's going to be brutal. It's going to really, really be, it's going to be brutal criticism. It's going to feel very Trubisky-like in what the Bears did with the 49ers to get him. And I truly do worry that those screenshots we would get of, like, look at all the teams that passed on said player for these quarterbacks. You know, the 49ers have one of those guys, Josh Rosen, who you look at and you're just like, man, can we believe the quarterbacks that went after Josh Rosen? It's one of those type of things. I worry about that. So 49ers and draft coverage coming.
I still think Josh Rosen could be successful. It's not like he was set up for success in any of the spots he went to. Arizona was terrible. They fired their coach after 1 year. He went to the Dolphins, who were awful, and Ryan Fitzpatrick was already breathing down his neck. Where did he go last year? He went to Tampa Bay for a little while behind Brady, and then he went to your Niners. So I don't know. Like, I still think Rosen could be successful, but he is. I mean, every day that goes by that he isn't getting a chance is worse and worse for him. He should go somewhere where he might have a chance to start, and that is not going to be your Niners. So,
I suppose, like, you know, he could pull a Fitzpatrick. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this has been an entire episode of just comparing sports against each other. You know, late bloomers don't really exist in basketball. You see very, very, very little of late bloomers. And then, you know, baseball, late bloomers are a very popular thing because you can have a guy that has played literally 10 years, but they've been in the minor leagues. They could be 27 or 28 in their prime. And, you know, the age gap between football and baseball is so different, where baseball players, you can play into your mid 30s and you can come in at 28 or 29. In the NFL, 28 or 29, You're almost about cooked. You're about done. So it's so much harder for a guy specifically like a Rosen, for one of these guys to hang around the NFL for 4, 5, 6 years and then pop off. But it does happen. You know, it happened. Kurt Warner was obviously a great late bloomer.
He's a shining example of that for sure.
And if there's a position that can do it, it's quarterback, because a guy can stay healthy because they're holding a clipboard for 5, 6, 7 years and then they get an opportunity. That's why Tannehill, Fitzpatrick, some of these guys can pop off.
Drew Brees did it kind of, you know, going from
he did
because he drafted Phillip Rivers when they had Drew Brees. So,
but how
he got usurped,
right?
And remember, he didn't pass the physical in Miami, so Miami had a contract done with him and he didn't pass the physical, so then he went to New Orleans. So, and we could have seen a whole different landscape of football just in its entirety if Drew Brees had signed that contract if he had passed the physical for Miami, because that was when Nick Saban was in Miami coaching the Dolphins. So then he never goes to Alabama, and Alabama doesn't have the success they have right now.
I mean, yeah. And think about that too. You know, think of the success the Saints have had, and like Culpepper would have probably gone there instead of Miami. Right. The Miami and New Orleans were essentially fighting for the two quarterbacks. Alabama and just the face of college football could look so much different. Like you're saying, the Saints maybe don't have a title, and who knows, God knows. And hey, let me put this out here, Boggs. I did not believe this story to be true. In no way did I think this was real, but they are making apparently a Netflix movie about Sean Payton, and maybe Dante Culpepper would be a part of it. And somehow, maybe it never would have happened. Maybe none of the stuff would have ever happened that, you know, it had going. I don't think this movie's about that, is it?
Well, no. What this movie is about, which is, it's a weird premise to me, but
this
it's about Sean.
Real.
It is real. It's Sean Payton coaching his son's youth football team while he was suspended because of Bountygate.
But see, that's my point there. Maybe if Culpepper is there, maybe that never happens, and maybe he never coaches his son during battle.
Well, yeah, maybe if Sean Payton is coaching Dante Culpepper instead of Drew Brees, then he gets fired immediately because they don't have success, and there is no bounty gate. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, we could change the whole base of the NFL and college football if Drew Brees just passes that physical. So,
man, the butterfly effect of Drew Brees.
Right. It's nuts. But
that's a better movie, by the way. Let's have the alternate universe of football. Netflix, make that one. Instead of casting Kevin James to play Sean Payton.
Yeah, by the way, Ralphie May is going to play Bill Belichick. So I don't understand this casting. Yeah, I know. I don't understand this casting for Sean Payton. Like, look, you know, I'm sure Kevin James has lost a bunch of weight, but I don't know, man. Sean Payton has just always been in shape. He doesn't look anything like Kevin James.
How are they going to get Adam Sandler
and friends
Rob
or
Schneider?
Something?
How are they going to get like Rob Schneider and Adam Sandler and get appearances by all, like, how are all those guys going to sneak into this movie?
Well, Adam Sandler will definitely make himself Drew Brees, right?
So, Adam Sandler will 100%. Be one of the coaches on another team that Kevin James is facing against. I mean,
one of the youth coaches, right?
That's what I'm saying.
The biggest jerk, right?
David Spade is 100% going to be some smoking hot wife's husband who's going to be.
He's
going to
be a referee for sure, isn't he?
Oh yeah. Sean, you're going to be in the end. I mean, they are 100% good. This is going to be this has to be a comedy, right? This isn't. I can't believe this is real. Kevin James is going to play Sean Payton in a Netflix movie.
Didn't he play a UFC fighter too, and he got in crazy good shape for that?
Yeah, he did.
Wasn't Kevin James, by the way, the actor that on a secret show when we were reading about like terrible things that actors had done that he made the waiter not talk to him? Wasn't that a Kevin James story?
You know what? We did. You know, you're right. On the secret show, I think here's what we did. We looked up like the 20 worst celebrities, because this was about Ellen, because Ellen is like the worst of everybody. Yeah. And I think we looked up like the 20 worst celebrities. And you're right. Kevin James popped up and he did. I don't remember what he did, but he was like known as maybe a bad tipper or something crazy.
No, I think what it was, I think it was exactly that, where the waiter came up and said, "Hey, can I take your drink order?" And he said, "You were instructed not to look at or speak to me." It was one of the, that's why I went off on that. I'm like, I hope that's not true. But if that is true, Kevin James is worthless. Like,
can you
who does that to that another
entitled?
Person?
Well, that's like Steve Harvey. Remember Steve Harvey and with his cast and crew? What is those talk show guys where he was just like, I don't want people looking at me or talking at me and it blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, okay. Like,
nothing how surprises are these guys? Me with Steve Harvey. Like, Steve Harvey's very funny. He's a very funny dude. Family Feud is hilarious. All his crazy reactions and stuff. But that does not, like, hearing him on other things, it does not surprise me at all.
Should we do like similar? So, you know, in ITL lore, in the history of ITL, I do get pretty excited when I hear about the theory of a movie, and then I like to write them myself.
Oh,
and,
no.
You
know,
I'm just saying, I wrote the six.
Get ready to unfollow the Welsh, everybody.
I wrote six movies for Chris Rock's new Saw series with Samuel L. Jackson. Should we cast and do the storyline of the Kevin James, Sean Payton movie?
I don't think it's going to keep my attention that long, Welsh. I mean, you're much better at that stuff.
Like 100%. Okay. So I'll bet you.
So we're going to write the movie? What do you mean we're doing? We're just casting it?
I mean, we could write it, but I think like they're going to get, you know how Bill Romanowski has done stuff with Adam Sandler? I'll bet he could play like Greg Williams. That'd be perfect.
Oh my God. That would be perfect.
Yeah, that would be perfect. I know how to do this.
He's yelling at eighth graders. You know what I mean? Like, rip his damn head off. Yeah.
And I mean, this is, I'm just baffled by it. This is amazing. And guess what? You might not have this had Drew Brees just pass that physical. And
I like
I'm telling
that you went down the NFL butterfly effect with me. So
yeah, I love it. I think that's a better movie. I want to see alternate universe NFL where Drew Brees, that putting money into that is so much better than the concept that Sean Payton gets a movie about when he coached his kids after his team and them put bounties on other players to end their careers. But hey, wholesome guy who's now teaching his kids Netflix, let's get a movie. It's absurd.
Yeah. By the way, Kevin James has lost a ton of weight. So I don't know if he kept it off or what, but remember he played that UFC fighter in the movie. And I guess he lost a ton of weight then. So he looks like he's in pretty decent shape right now.
You shouldn't be looking at him, Bogman. Remember, you've been instructed not to look at him.
Well, you know, luckily in none of these photos, he's looking you in the eye. So I'm making no eye contact or speak. I'm just speaking about him, not directly to him. So I'm pretty sure you are going to be happy that Tom Brady is opening up his own NFT platform, right? You're big into the NFTs.
I mean, like, it's so tough. Of course he did. He's the ultimate brander. I think he did it.
How much
MLB?
For the moment of him almost throwing the Lombardi trophy into the lake?
Oh God. I would totally pay for that. I would love the NFT of him being dragged out of that bar, all pissed drunk. See, those I would totally pay for. And it's at CNN Business. It says Brady is launching an NFT platform called Autograph that will bring together some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, fashion, and pop culture to work with creators to develop unique digital collectibles. And what's so amazing, too.
Just real quick, Tom Brady naming his NFT company Autograph would be like a chef naming his restaurant meal.
Food.
You know, like, food. What are you talking about, dude? Spoon. Come on. Yeah, Autograph. Yeah.
But I mean, they're jumping in on it's not a fad or anything like that. It's just, I think it's like anything else with NFTs. Everybody's got to do it so the market gets saturated and there's going to be a big up and then it has to stabilize and people will figure out. Because guess what? Just because it's the non-fungible token and stuff doesn't mean it's valuable. But we're all dummies and we don't realize that. So everybody's doing everything. But there's issues. There's issues with this stuff. And people have pointed it out. Hey, guess what? These are all held on a server. What happens when that server goes down or that company goes away? Your non-fungible, non-existent thing is gone. So that's a problem. They don't have all the kinks worked out, but everybody sees money and dollar signs. And you know who the winners are? It's the creators of the NFTs. It's the celebrities. Those are the winners because they're out there hawking stuff for thousands and thousands of dollars because everybody sees dollar signs right now. So Tom Brady, he is an innovator. He's smart. He's doing it. Every athlete in the next 2 years, there's no chance you don't have 80% of all of the top athletes having some form of an NFT
Is there any way that his commercial for his NFTs are creepier than his commercial for the beds that he had a while back? You remember those?
What were the bed ones? No.
He has his own bed company or something. And that's it was odd. Just like his mattress in an empty room. And he looks at the guy it seemed like he was at a hotel, and he goes, I'm good now, or something like that. Like, leave the room because he's alone with this mattress. Yeah, it is creepy.
I mean, Tom's got some creepy stuff, but there's one thing that he knows, and he knows how to massage the media and be involved in NFTs.
Don't say massage.
Smart thing to do.
Don't say massage right here in front of Deshaun Watson stuff.
No. We got to go to break. When we come back, we won't talk about any more massages right here on ITL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
It's Bogman, it's Welsh, it's ITL. It's the end of hour two, which means I'm going to step aside for our boy Bubba. Apparently, we can't be in the same room. We found out from Bogman, we can't be in the same room together. So Bubba is going to step in.
No.
Bogman and Bubba.
When you're a crybaby about the Niners taking Penei Sewell at 3, you'll leave.
You're just saying you need someone else to talk to.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying. So that's what I mean. But when they take Justin Fields and you're all happy, stick around for the rest of the night. Yeah. You, me, and Bubba, we can do. It's okay if it's a three-way. I heard that on Saturday Night Live, so it's
okay.
Fine.
That's good. Did you cry at all when James Conner signed a 1-year deal with the Arizona Cardinals? No longer a Steeler. You've been very critical while also loving him. I actually could never gauge how you are about James Conner, because you would talk about how awful he is, how much he sucks, and he won't play, and then being like, I love him so much.
Well, I love James Conner. He's one of my favorite football players ever. Right. So, guy came back from cancer. Pitt dude that got drafted by the Steelers, hard nose, plays all out every snap. Love watching him play. If you're drafting him for fantasy, you might as well flush your pick down the toilet, because the guy can't stay on the field. It's not his fault. He plays as hard as he does and as hard as he can. And, you know, his body's been ravaged by chemotherapy, man. Like it's tough for him to stay on the field. So, you know, I don't blame him for anything that happens. It's just, he can't stay healthy. He's not a guy that can take 25 carries a game, which is what the Steelers wanted him for. But now, you know, he signs a deal with the Cardinals, and he can be the second running back to Chase Edmonds. Chase Edmonds is going to be the number one there.
Yeah, some interesting signings leading up to the NFL draft. And I really feel like there's going to be this isn't one of those like where there's smoke, there's fire, because there's not necessarily that. But you get, you know, Jadeveon Clowney signing a 1-year deal with the Browns. You get the Cardinals jumping in and picking up James Conner. You also have the Falcons, interestingly enough, dumping Ito Smith. So you'd say bye-bye to Ito Smith. And they got to
take a running back, or they need a couple running backs.
They got Mike Davis. They brought in Mike Davis, but that's like
they still need stuff.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, there's an interesting setup we're having where the Niners have made their trade. Garoppolo might be on the move. Some teams trying to get the veterans that they can. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to
be active. It's going to be active.
And a team like the Cardinals, you're going to have to monitor with taking James Conner what it means full force. But that is the end of hour two. I'm out of here. More coming up, though. ITL with Bubba and Bogman right here on ITL on Sports Grid.